All right, you are looking right now at the field office, the FBI field office in Atlanta. A road barrier is up while parts of the front gate is down. The FBI now trying to determine who drove that vehicle right there through the employee gate of the FBI field office and why. Come on in, I'm Blake Berman, and this is The Hill on News Nation. Happy Monday. Here we are. Here we go. Hanging out with us today, Chris Steierwald, host of The Hill Sunday, senior fellow as well at the American Enterprise Institute. Julia Manchester, of course, the national political reporter for The Hill. Kurt Bardella is a Democratic strategist and News Nation contributor. And Aaron Perini, a Republican strategist. Hello to you all. Nice to have you all in. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Did I miss anything over the past week?
No,
I got a little wild while you were
going. You got a little wild.
What's going on? I'm just glad you didn't find all of the empty pizza boxes
in the studio here. We're clean. We're good. Lot to get to. We're going to talk about, of course, that scene at the southern border from 10 days ago and why all of a sudden now these migrants are being released. Luther Campbell. Might he be Congressman Campbell? We'll get into that. Caitlin Clark and what the president could learn, and Donald Trump as well. But first, down to that scene in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, and what we may and may not know at this point in time. As a vehicle earlier this afternoon crashed into the front gate of the FBI field office there. Joining us now is the former FBI special agent, News Nation law and justice contributor, Jennifer Coffendaffer. Jennifer, thanks for being with us back again here on The Hill. Talk to us real quick. What do we know? What don't we know? And what do we think happened here?
Well, what we know is that at approximately noon today, this vehicle tried to piggyback on through that gate. And obviously, you can see that ramp ramp was deployed and came up. And this is something that is actually fairly new that the FBI has employed because of these situations of people trying to break in. We saw in Cincinnati a similar situation, and that ended up in a shootout. 18 U.S.C. 1752, of course, protects these installations legally. And so obviously this individual who exited and was arrested has been charged.
Okay, so walk us through real quick what the FBI is likely doing at this hour and what are they trying to determine?
Well, we know that they sent bomb dogs and so on and so forth to make sure that that was clear and wasn't dangerous after it stopped with the ramp. And then after that, they're going to be, of course, determining what all was in that vehicle. What might have this person wanted to do? They're also going to be looking, obviously, at the social media and the digital forensics of that individual's phone. What was his purpose? They have not released that yet.
All right. Jennifer Coffendaffer, News Nation contributor. Thanks so much. We'll be watching any updates if they warrant. We'll let you know. Jennifer, thank you. Meantime, remember this scene a couple weeks ago? Migrants knocking down razor wire at the southern border. This happened to be in El Paso. And by the hundreds, overwhelmed members of the Texas National Guard. So that on March 21st. Fast forward now, the El Paso Times is reporting that a local judge ordered the release of several of those migrants. How, you might wonder? Well, the judge released them on their own recognizance. Today, the White House would not comment on that specifically, except to blame Republicans and Donald Trump for killing a border bill.
They put politics ahead of the American people. We are seeing chaos. We worked with Congress to get this done, to deal with the challenges at the border. President Trump got in the way, and because President Trump got in the way, Republicans are now getting in the way.
All right, so that the answer from the White House earlier today. But, Chris, I think it's a fair question to ask. When you see that scene 10 days ago and now those migrants being released on their own recognizance, you hear the White House give sort of that response there. How does this happen and how does it play out politically going forward?
Well, there's certainly plenty of blame to go around. I mean, we can certainly find reasons. Defeat in this case has 1,000 fathers, and we have had a dysfunctional, chaotic immigration system in this country for a couple of generations now. The world has beaten a path to our doorstep, and we're unable to deal with this in a rational way. President Biden's two great weaknesses in his reelection bid are number one, his age, and number two, the border and immigration. Those have surpassed now the economy. I think that has surpassed now the economy as his greatest liability. And that video will be the rebuttal to every time you see January 6th footage.
That scene.
The Democrats will say, the Republicans will say, oh, yeah, well, we only did it one time. This is going on at the border.
So what about that answer? Because Karine Jean-Pierre is right, but President Biden hasn't done anything, Julia, on an executive order front, right? And so you could pass blame back and forth in a lot of different directions.
Absolutely. And I think you're going to see Republicans, in addition to maybe using that footage of the migrants crossing over, crashing through, they'll also use that footage of Karine Jean-Pierre's answer.
And which was a non-answer. Which was a non-answer at the beginning, and then, oh, it's Trump's fault.
And what's interesting is that when that footage initially came out, I think we were all talking about it on this panel, she gave a similar answer, blaming it on Greg Abbott. Not saying that Abbott doesn't have some share in the blame, but this is not just one person.
So the question, Kurt, to Karine Jean-Pierre in the White House briefing earlier today was, how does releasing those migrants, who you saw in that video, how does releasing them make the country safer? And she punted to, I think, the Department of Homeland Security and then gave that answer. Your answer to how does that make the country safer or what Karine Jean-Pierre said would be what?
It doesn't. I mean, at some point, you just gotta, like, let people... Let the footage speak for itself. It doesn't make it safer. I don't know why this happened. I don't know what failure in our judicial process or an incarceration process, or if they're overwhelmed and they can't, there's not enough beds or spaces for all of these people. But we have to just admit that, yeah, this is a problem. Passing off the buck while a politically, you know, obviously that's what everyone does. In this situation, and Chris is right, with this being such a major vulnerability, the major vulnerability public policy-wise for President Biden's reelection, I think you got to be candid. I think you got to say, yeah, this thing is majorly broken. Here's the problem.
So why won't they say that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know why they gave that answer, because if you're going to give the answer, you got to give it in two parts. It's broken. We need to fix it. We have a bill that would fix it. Republicans aren't letting us pass it. That's how you message
it. Inflation is transitory.
Inflation was transitory until it wasn't. Here we are 3 years later. But what would you say to Karine Jean-Pierre there in the White House?
The one word that sticks out to me is that she said chaos. And that's probably the furthest this administration has gone into admitting culpability in the issues at the southern border. But if you're looking at Texas right now, there's going to be a Senate race there with Colin Allred, who's running against Ted Cruz, who called a border wall racist. You better believe that that footage, that this judge allowing those migrants out on their own recognizance to come into the country after they violently stormed the southern border of the United States, not only will that play largely into the Senate race in Texas, but it'll also play largely across the country.
You know, you just said inflation is transitory. There's been Janet Yellen recently acknowledged that they made a mistake on inflation.
Yeah.
Is someone going to, like, so she was an adult in the room, right, when she acknowledged that, I think, last month or in the recent weeks. Will anyone in the White House stand up and say, you know what, that answer isn't the answer. Here's what we need to say.
Before November, Joe Biden will take executive action on the border. He will have to do it. He is absolutely going to do it.
Okay.
The question is, how long does he wait, and who is he waiting for? Is he waiting for progressives who are going to be very angry at him when he does it? Is he trying to time it right? I will tell you, the longer he waits, the harder perceptions will be among persuadable voters.
All right, Brandon Judd, come on in. President of the National Border Patrol Council. That is a union representing thousands of Border Patrol agents. Brandon, thanks for being with us here on the Hill. I'm sure you saw that story out of the El Paso Times circulating over the weekend, that scene. Many of those migrants have just been allowed, released into the country and allowed to move on. When you learned
so
of
not
that,
only
you
did
thought,
I,
what, I wonder?
Yeah, so not only did I see the scene, it was my officers that took that reporter down to the border that when she captured the film. We knew exactly what was going on. We knew exactly what was going to happen. This is not something that is new to us. We have seen this time and time again. This just happens to be the first time that it was captured on film. There's been many, many times that aliens have crashed our borders. Oh, I can't even count how many times, but it's just, this is the first time. Now, I will say that this was the most dramatic. This was the most dramatic in which they actually ran over and knocked down National Guardsmen. But we've had agents standing at our walls many times where cartels have cut out sections of our walls that they've run through and we've tried to hold them back and they won't stop. So this plays out regularly. This just happened to be the most dramatic.
It struck me, Brandon, that the judge released these individuals on their own recognizance. Explain how that happens.
It's really unfortunate, and I'm going to talk about what that actually causes. When a judge releases people on their own recognizance, that what that does is it sends a message that you can cross our borders illegally, that you can actually assault people, and you're going to get released. But when they say release on their own recognizance, they're releasing them with the promise that they're going to come back and they're going to show up to their court appearances. It's a crazy system when you release people that are flight risks. Everybody knows that these people are flight risks.
Okay.
Then when you release them on their own recognizance, especially when we have history that they do not show up to their court appearances.
Okay, so I just heard the White House essentially, Brandon, not answer and then blame Trump for killing the border bill, which he did. President Biden, on the other hand, could take executive actions of some kind. He hasn't. So those are both sides, right? And we talk about those two because those are the two main presidential candidates in an election year. I wonder, Brandon, what you think needs to happen so that there's not another scene like that in El Paso or in other spots along the southern border.
Well, it makes me sick when the White House says that President Trump killed the border bill. There is a much better border bill that the House actually passed, H.R. 2, that the Senate won't take up. The Democrats won't take that border bill up. And that's a much better border bill than what was negotiated between Lankford. Of course, that wasn't bipartisan. But when you look at this, there is executive action that can be done, and it can fit within Biden's parameters. We don't even have to go back to remain in Mexico to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. All we have to do is surge immigration judges to our border, surge asylum officers to our border, have those court appearances immediately upon crossing the border illegally. If they appeal a decision, if a decision is negative in their case, if they appeal it, have that appeal immediately with those immigration judges and remove these people. If we remove them, if they do not have a right to be in the country and we actually remove them, people will start coming. There are a lot of different things that this administration can do that they refuse to do. Now, I heard somebody say that he believes that Biden is going to use executive action. I disagree. And the reason I disagree is because if he does use executive action, it's going to prove that he was wrong for the last 3 years. And if he proves that he was wrong for the last 3 years, the votes are going
to
go against him. Say that again? I'm sorry?
Would you be opposed to it? Obviously, it's theoretical because you don't know what exactly it may or may not be. But would you be opposed to it if he does?
No, I will take any help that I can get. My agents will take anything that we can get. All we want to do is protect the American people. We would praise him if he came out with executive action. He's just not going to do it.
All right, Brandon Judd, we'll leave it there. You're welcome on back anytime. Hope to talk to you soon. Brandon Judd, National Border Patrol Council. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
So you all agreed that he, being the president, is going to have to take some sort of executive action between now and November. If he does, you think it looks like what?
It's really hard to predict, right? And I think, to Chris's point about timing, I think Biden's going to try to get through as many of these primary states as he can so he gets less of that blowback on uncontested votes, and then you'll see him make a move.
So that's June 1st or June 6th.
And at that point, it could be any number of things. It could be asylum judges. It could be any number of things. I'm certainly not a Democrat policy person myself, but I think that the timing-wise, you'll see him get through primary season and then start to make moves.
The amount of anguish that Democrats are experiencing around the Chicago Convention coming up is profound. And most of that angst surrounds the question of Israel and Hamas. But this would be a further accelerant to that. Mm-hmm. I wrote when they chose to go to Chicago, I was like, of all cities that you would go to, the scene of the melee in 1968 when you have a divided party seems rather asinine to me. And yet, there they are. But I think very much in their minds, Democrats are thinking that's the big moment for Biden, and they got to get through that. So I could certainly see a late summer, early fall crackdown.
All right. Coming up, still here from the Hill. His album was the first to ever be declared legally obscene. He and 2 Live Crew took that case all the way through the court system. They won, by the way. Now he is 63. And how about this question? Is Luther Campbell about to run for Congress? Mark Caputo just spoke to the South Florida legend and will tell us if Congressman Campbell is a real possibility or not. Plus, imagine this. You just got off of work, right? You're hanging out with your friends, the wife, husband, spouse, whoever, whatever. The boss calls. Do you pick up? What do you do? Surely that's happened. How one state, though, might start penalizing your employer. Seriously.
Oh.
You got a guess of what state this is in?
Feels like California.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes,
what
right.
exactly is going on in that state? Plus, what are you breaking up coming up?
I like you breaking, got two live crew, rapper yep. in Florida, Florida man, and a very California story. So you're covering both of those big
states. And you're going to break down.
We're going to talk about what insiders think will be Donald Trump's pick for running mate, why they're probably wrong, and what will the real thinking will go into this.
All right, cool. They're all excited to talk Caitlin Clark, too, by the way. We'll tie that to politics. The Hill here on News Nation. Back in a few. Stay with us. All right, so people here in Washington certainly have opinions, but do they have the pulse of where things could be heading with Donald Trump? A group of D.C. lobbyists and congressional staffers were asked who they think Trump will choose as his running mate, and one name stood out above the rest. Steyerwalt here to break it all down. Chris.
Is it me? Is it me?
It wasn't you. I don't think you would take it.
No, I probably wouldn't be a good fit. Okay, so Punchbowl News does this, and you don't need to know this, but Punchbowl News is this insidery publication in Washington, and I read it because I'm a weirdo, but I took with real interest, they do this canvas of K Street lobbyists and insiders, tastemakers here in Washington. Who do they think Trump will pick as his running mate? Why, it's Senator Tim Scott by a pretty wide margin over South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, Governor Sarah Huckabee of Arkansas, and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. And Democratic and Republican, they talked to both Democrats and Republicans. The only one, and I noted this with interest, the only one that more that had a real delta between what the Democrats and the Republican insiders thought would be Elise Stefanik, who was way overstated among Democrats, just a reflection of how little they may understand about how the Republican Party actually works. Okay, so why Tim Scott? He's a second-term senator from South Carolina. He has engaged in one of the most astonishing self-abnegations. His journey from Trump foe to Trump supporter was fast and furious. And he has really gotten on board, helping Trump vanquish his intrastate rival, Nikki Haley, former governor, the woman who appointed him to the Senate. And you see that last point on the baseball card there, voted to certify the 2020 election. That's a big problem for Tim Scott when it comes to Donald Trump, because, of course, this is the most single important issue when it comes to Trump, talking about how does he litmus test people for their obedience and for their sort of subservience. It is, you have to go along with the 2020 election stealing business. Okay, so let's break these other four into two categories. You got the MAGA. And that's Noem and Huckabee Sanders. And they're both competing hard, it seems like, for the gig. Sanders has more inside game. She's got more Trump loyalty points. She's inside the building. Noem is more telegenic, more of a, as we've seen from her many ads for teeth whitening and everything else. She is a much more public-facing entity. And she's had real moxie out there in South Dakota, and she has worked this hard. Okay, how about the converts? They weren't MAGA to begin with, but they got there. Stefanik and Vance. Stefanik, I say, is a no. I don't think Trump is likely to trust her. J.D. Vance, though, has been through the fire. He definitely, out in Ohio, had proved it with Bernie Moreno pulling the Trump favorite across the finish line. I think it's unlikely they're going to pick a dude. I think it's unlikely they're going to pick a white dude. But if they were going to pick a white dude, maybe J.D. Vance would be on the list. So that's what the insiders think. They're probably wrong, but now you know.
Steyerwalt breaks it down. So you say it's unlikely you think that Trump picks a man.
I think white dude would be the wrong energy. I think for Trump, Republicans are all jazzed now because they're getting back a lot of the numbers among non-white voters that they lost in the Obama and Trump or early Trump period. They're starting to sort of get back into double digits with black voters. They're feeling a lot of excitement about not being just such an overwhelmingly white party. So I think there's some enticement there.
Kamala Harris, the current vice president, obviously a woman. RFK Jr. picked a woman as his running mate. Does Donald Trump I don't know, needs the right word. Well, let's go with that. Does he need to pick a woman as his running mate, given the dynamics?
You know, I think potentially. I think a woman or a person of color. Because, look, you're seeing the Republican Party try to make inroads with these groups, whether it's suburban women or, you know, black men, for example. And there is some opportunity there. And you've seen the RNC, over the past couple of years, start to target those groups. So I think that could potentially help.
One thing I forgot to mention. Trump's choice will depend on how convinced he is that he needs to get the normies back. Hmm. And if he feels like he has to get the non-weird Republicans back, the Haley voter, the Scott voter, the people who voted for Ron DeSantis and preferred him to Trump, if he feels like he needs to unite the party, Tim Scott, his stock goes way up.
Do you think he should pick a woman?
I don't actually believe that it needs to be a woman on this ticket. I think that it can be a man. Well, because I think that playing into the idea that it has to be somebody who fits a certain mold is what got Biden in trouble by picking Kamala. Kamala never even made it through the primary because she was just not a strong candidate. And it was very clear that they made the decision to put her on the ballot to check boxes and not in order to be the person who could best serve if the president, if something was to happen to the president. So I think for Donald Trump, he's best served by picking someone who he believes can help serve but not overshine him.
Who do you think it should be?
That I don't want to say.
It's just us five.
Oh, yeah, just a few friends at home.
What you said. We won't say.
Still, much more ahead here on the Hill. Maybe we'll pull that answer out. Wages are going up in California, at least for fast food workers. They're now getting $20 an hour. But at what cost? And it is the rematch that the country is talking about today. Not Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It is Angel Reese of LSU and Caitlin Clark of Iowa. And did you hear what one of them said about their rivalry? Why the 80-year-olds vying for office might want to take a lesson from the 20-somethings. A live look at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You are watching The Hill here on News Nation. We are back in a few.
Sense a theme here? Your favorite sitcoms from the 80s and 90s are all in one place. Rewind TV. Just go to rewindtv.com and check it out.
There's nearly 678,290,000 kids under 5 around the world. But what's so important about being 5? Well, children who live to age 5 are twice as likely to reach adulthood. That's why vaccines matter so much. For 40 years, Rotary and partners have delivered vaccines globally, like here and even here, in your neighborhood and around the world. Rotary is ensuring children grow up safe from preventable diseases.
Only 1 in 5 people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep, that is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand?
Yeah. To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/WIN.
Chris Domine is a husband, father, an athlete, even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris's kidneys were failing.
The doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant, you are going to die.
Chris received a second chance, made possible by an organ donor.
Your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Action! When I grow up, I want to be a director. Because they get to talk to everybody about everything. They get to make cool movies and dance music videos.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect of the immune system that affects millions. Early testing can give children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a director, I get to say, lights, camera, action.
For more information, visit the Jeffrey Modell Foundation at info4pi.org.
That's a wrap.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans, do you take medication? At VA, prescriptions have a range of copay levels, from free to $5, $8, or $11 for a 30-day prescription, depending on your eligibility. Refill by mail, in person, or on VA's mobile app. Sign up at va.gov or call 1-800-MYVA-411.
You're listening to The Hill on News Nation. To find News Nation on your screen, go to joinnn.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Every child deserves the best teachers, facilities, and academic programs to set them up for success. At Milton Hershey School in Hershey, Pennsylvania, we make that a reality for children from qualifying families who are looking for greater opportunities. Milton Hershey School enrolls students from pre-K through 12th grade from across the United States to live and learn on a beautiful state-of-the-art campus with all costs covered. Are you looking to set your child up for success or know a child who could benefit from Milton Hershey School? Learn more at mhskids.org/admissions.
Welcome back here to The Hill on News Nation. So he is known as Uncle Luke, but could he be Congressman Campbell? Check out this story from The Bulwark. Quote, as nasty as I want to be, bad boy rapper Luther Campbell eyes Florida congressional seat. Now, Campbell was the front man for the group Two Live Crew, but Campbell, now 63 years old and a bit of a legend in the South Florida area, could be eyeing a congressional seat. Joining us now, the national political reporter for The Bulwark. I always say the best there is in the state of Florida, Mark Caputo. He spoke with Luther Campbell recently, I believe. This was your article. Talk to me, Mark, and always good to see you. Are we talking about possibly Congressman Campbell, and why should we be taking this seriously?
I mean, Luther Campbell sounds really serious about it. He'd been talking to a number of consultants who told me about it, and he sounded thoughtful about it. Now, I understand some people who are familiar with Luther Campbell, to quote Bakari Sellers, a former advisor to Kamala Harris. He said, look, Luther Campbell doesn't speak the Queen's English. Now, that's putting it mildly. He was very rough or rugged and raw when I interviewed him. I think he dropped the F-bomb a number of times, and we put it in our story. But yeah. I would say that there's a higher probability than not that he's going to run. And if Campbell runs, it's going to be a really interesting race. He'd be running for Florida's 20th congressional district, which is in South Florida, but it's in Broward County, the Fort Lauderdale area, for a lot of viewers who aren't familiar with it. And it stretches from there up into Palm Beach County, south of Lake Okeechobee. And it covers a number of very unique, interesting communities. There are African-American communities. There are farming communities, a number of whites. It's a predominantly black district, and not only is it African-American, but about a third of it, a little more, is Jamaican-American, and a little less than a third of it is Haitian-American. So it's sort of a complicated and very South Florida district. How he'll run there against the incumbent, Sheila Trefilis McCormick, is anyone's guess. But one thing we can say is it's going to be interesting. He apparently has a documentary film crew that's going to follow him along.
All right. I've known you for like 15 years, Mark, so I know if you're writing about this, it's serious,
right?
Which is what caught my attention. Luther Campbell, again, this is Two Live Crew. And if you don't know the backstory to Two Live Crew, just Google it. But, I mean, I was born and raised in Miami. You live there. You know he's a legend in that area, and he's done a lot of good with his life in the recent years. And for as boisterous as he is, I wonder what you think he would be like as a congressman.
I have no idea. But what I could say is that he'd be kind of the other side of the news-making congressional delegation coin of Matt Gaetz. In fact, he singled out Matt Gaetz when he said, look, we need to fight these mother effers. And I said, well, who are the mother effers? And he said, Matt Gaetz, Donald Trump, and these crazy-ass Republicans. That's, I think I could say that on television. So it'll give you an idea of what we're in store for if he decides to run.
Hey, Mark, pivoting for a second, because there was an email that quite literally just hit our inbox from President Biden's campaign, from the campaign manager, Julie Chavez Rodriguez, which now says that they believe that they see an opening in Florida because of the Supreme Court decision there today. Like I said, you know Florida politics as well as anyone. Just give me real quick the 15 seconds on what happened with the Supreme Court. And in your view, is the Biden campaign right? Are they on to something or no?
Well, if you've ever seen the movie Dumb and Dumber, they say there's a chance. So, yeah, there's a chance for Joe Biden. The Florida Supreme Court decided to allow an amendment, a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot in November that would legalize or keep abortion legal in the state. At the same time, the Florida Supreme Court allowed that to go to voters in November. They did strike the longstanding ruling that said that abortion was protected in the state because of a privacy amendment. So basically, if voters approve this, it'll eliminate a six-week abortion ban. If they don't, Florida will have a six-week abortion ban until lawmakers decide to somehow remove it, which I don't see happening.
I got to run real quick, but Florida, does this make it a swing state? Yes or no, in your view?
No. Battleground at best.
Battleground at best. Mark Caputo from The Bulwark. We'll talk to you soon. Mark, good to see you as always.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about that memo?
You know, I think they're seizing on the news that abortion will be on the ballot in Florida, abortion rights. And if you look to a state that's sort of similar to Florida, Ohio, they also have a Senate race. But last year, Ohioans, even though the state has certainly leaned red in recent years, they voted to enshrine abortion in their constitution.
Right.
Florida, completely different state, though, in that I would say it's even less competitive in many ways than Ohio, particularly when you look at the Senate races, for example.
Florida is a little less Republican than Texas. and Texas is not that Republican, but it's consistently Republican. The question with states is elasticity. And so you have a state like Georgia that can be very Republican, but if there's a lot of elasticity in the vote, it can be it swings pretty wildly. Florida hasn't been swinging lately. It's been they've been playing their games right at the, between the 45-yard lines over and over and over again. But I will say, I agree, this is probably just getting this is probably bar talk. But with this on the ballot, there will be bigger turnout from people who might otherwise sit out the race.
Where we started, you ready for Congressman Campbell?
Too high. I mean, this is someone who, when you reference this, has deep roots with this community. And you look at a lot of people that might end up campaigning for him, people he's had a lot of influence over, people who went to the University of Miami, Michael Irvin, the playmaker, great Hall of Fame receiver, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Russell Maryland. Like, these are people, when the parties were going on at the U, when they were there, they were happening at Uncle Luke's house.
he was in the middle of it all. I'm telling you, a race to keep an eye on if he does jump in. Anyways, speaking of sports, it's March. You're fired up about this.
Very fired up.
I know. She's a UConn fan. March means it's the best time of the year for college basketball. Tonight, we'll see, by the way, one of the most anticipated matchups of the year, the rematch of last year's women's championship game featuring two of the biggest stars in the sport, LSU's Angel Reese, Iowa's Caitlin Clark. But while the two are rivals on the court, that's where it seemingly ends. Reese spoke about their relationship over the weekend. Watch.
Me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game. I'm going to talk trash to you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in your head the whole entire game. But after the game, we can kick it.
After the game, we can kick it, she said. This is a politics show, so you're probably wondering why we're talking about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes tonight. But, I read this and I thought to myself, the 80-year-olds, give or take, Trump and Biden, right? At that age, you normally teach the 20-year-olds how to act. But when you hear Angel Reese saying something like that, I wonder what what folks in this town can take away from them.
It shows a real level of maturity, and it's not just the 80-year-olds that need to work on their rhetoric in D.C. It's most elected officials, to be quite frank. But to see these two star athletes not only transform the game of women's basketball in a way that has not been seen before, and I say that as a UConn alum who is a proud Gina Auriemma fan, who understands Sue Bird and the legacy of UConn women's basketball, but to see that these athletes can say, you know what, right. I leave it on the court, and I take, and we can be friends. It gives me the feeling of the old statesmanship of the U.S. Senate, where they used to battle it hard on the court, on the dais, on the floor, and the Barbara Mikulski would walk off and give John Cornyn a big hug. It's just not the way D.C. operates anymore, but it could certainly use a lesson.
So here was John McCain speaking about Barack Obama in 2008. Watch.
I have to tell you, he is a decent person and a person that you do not have to be scared as President of the United States. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with.
We are so far away from that. And that's what caught my attention about Angel Reese's comments.
Well, we used to call our party nominees the standard bearer for our party, but really politics has become this race to the bottom. Here you have two athletes who recognize and understand that they are going to be the face of women's sports for the next decade in Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. They are accepting that responsibility, and as they conduct themselves with the most national spotlight you could possibly have, millions of people are going to be watching them tonight. And they are not shying away from that responsibility. They are rising up to meet it because they know what's at stake. That everything that happens going forward, the WNBA TV rights are being renegotiated in about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Those two and their mark on the game could mean every player that comes after them gets a big raise and more process towards equity and equality.
Show the George W. Bush and Michelle Obama picture real quick if we can. Because this went viral recently a few years. There you go.
Yeah.
Like, Chris, when... Are we ever going to get back to a moment like that?
Well, we have to acknowledge our role in this in the media and how we help contribute to this problem. But certainly what we have allowed and certainly what our politicians have done is to catastrophize our politics. The best thing about sports is if you don't win this time, you get to try again next time. Right. These two teams played last year. They're going to play again tonight. And they'll get. And if you didn't like this one, come back again. You can't have decent conduct in your elections and you can't have decent politics if you believe the lie that this is the last election. This is the, if we lose this one, then everything's gone. This is the most important election. As voters and as journalists, we have to reject that lie that politicians tell us. If they catastrophize our politics and tell us that the future of this country is doomed, then we're not going to hold them to the correct account.
Who you got tonight, Perini?
In the LSU-Iowa State game, Iowa game, I'm going to take LSU.
All right, there you go.
Iowa's going to win. This is a legacy game for Caitlin Clark.
And UConn's going to win the second game.
All right,
they're going to the championship.
Meantime, coming up here on the Hill, Eggs, Bunnies, and Hunter Biden.
Oof.
The son of President Biden showing up to the Easter egg roll at the White House despite all of his legal troubles. Look at those pictures for a second. On the other side of the break, we'll ask... We'll talk about it. What do you see?
Oh, the rabbit's scaring me.
Oh. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
We're back here in a few. Other side of the break. Stay with us.
Gosh.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
At YMCA Summer Camp, kids find their why. Friendship and fun, a world of adventure beneath a golden sun. Running, laughing, full of wonder. Being themselves is second nature. Summer camp is where they begin.
to unlock the confidence that lies within. When kids find new passions, they find their why. Summer camp season starts soon. Learn more at ymca.org for a better us.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
This is Allie Bradley. Get my podcast, Bradley on the Border, at newsnationnow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
On your mark, get set, go to Antenna TV.
All together. One, two.
Race to your TV to watch your favorite shows.
Well, I shall be running along.
Spend days marathoning one classic after another.
Oh, when you're sharp, everything goes your way.
Feel like a champ while you catch up with your favorite characters.
I'm so good sometimes I scare myself.
Everyone's a winner with
Antenna TV. TV, how it was meant to be.
Get your hands off my trophy.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Over the last few years, things have gotten weird.
And for our kids, these things can be overwhelmingly stressful.
Scientific research
and real-life experience
tell us that the number one antidote to stress is authentic, trusted relationships.
So that's why I...
That's why I...
That's why I am committed to building and maintaining a trusted space.
This is a trusted space.
Access free films and resources to build trusted spaces in your schools and communities at atrustedspace.org.
There's nearly 678,290,000 kids under five around the world. But what's so important about being five? Well, children who live to age five are twice as likely to reach adulthood. That's why vaccines matter so much. For 40 years, Rotary and partners have delivered vaccines globally, like here and even here, in your neighborhood and around the world. Rotary is ensuring children grow up safe from preventable diseases.
Earlier this morning, but also there as well, his son, Hunter Biden, who is currently being investigated by Congress for his foreign business dealings. Of course, Hunter Biden also has other legal issues that he is dealing with, yet today, clearly front and center before the cameras at the White House. Around the table we go when you see these images of Hunter Biden at the White House today for the Easter egg roll. Aaron, I'll start with you. What do you see?
How many of his kids did he bring with him?
Oh.
Come on, guys. The president is the one who regularly doesn't acknowledge that he has another grandchild.
All right. That's what Aaron saw. Fair enough. Kurt, what did you see?
I see a guy not sweating James Comer one bit.
Yeah. Okay.
You think that's part of what this is?
Yes.
Is
absolutely.
Like, a, you know what? I'm free. Not, well, he's not free and clear, at least on the legal side.
Well, at least when it comes to the impeachment and the hearings, it's like the momentum has been taken. If there ever was a momentum,
okay.
The air is out of the balloon there. And I think this is the White House showing, yeah, we're not afraid of James
Hunter Biden. Biden, what do you see there?
So I think on the flip side of that, and I think not necessarily James Comer is seeing it this way, but other Republicans, the Republican universe, it's a distraction. I mean, what are we talking about right now? Hunter Biden.
Right.
So I don't know how that necessarily plays.
Hunter at the White House front and center yet again, Chris.
I see the extraordinary selfishness of a middle-aged man who won't grow up. And it really, it saddens me. Joe Biden, obviously, is heartbroken at the loss. He's lost so much in his family, in his life, and has stood by his son through all of these travails, all and the corruption and the buck-raking and the and all of the addiction and everything else. And all he needs, all Hunter Biden needs to do for his father for the next 6 months is nothing. He just needs to go away.
Get away from the camera.
He would show up and go shake hands and mug around like this was Camelot is just it's bewildering and saddening.
By the way, everyone knows that there's going to be cameras there today and photographers and the media and all that. So that is just an intentional decision, clearly, by Hunter Biden, just so everyone knows. Meantime, big change happening in the state of California today. Nearly 500,000 fast food workers getting a pay raise. Fast food workers at chains like McDonald's, Starbucks, Chipotle will now earn at least $20 per hour. That is the new minimum wage that is now in effect for most fast food workers in that state. A $4 increase, really, than the state's minimum wage elsewhere. Look at that, $20. You good with that?
Because it's for In-N-Out people.
So if wages go up at those restaurants, someone's paying the cost of that, right? Let's just say you're at a restaurant and let's do simple math. 5 employees there an hour, $4 an hour. That's another $20.
You know exactly what's going to happen.
Costs get passed down to the consumer.
The last fast food worker in California will be paid $1 million an hour, and every other job will be automated. And if we talk about how artificial intelligence and robotics and these things are going to influence other things, if you make it $20 an hour to pay somebody to work at In-N-Out Burger, that increases the motivation for these companies to automate and automate and automate. Yep. And last time, when was the last time you walked into a McDonald's and talked to a person? Well, you probably don't go to McDonald's because you
Where was I?
Paragon of health.
No, I was somewhere yesterday. When I was off. And yeah,
He's lying. Blake doesn't eat at McDonald's.
I'm drawing a blank where I was, but I went to the touchscreen. By the way, show the headline, and I think there was a story about Yum Brands trying to go automated elsewhere, too, by the way. There you go. Business Insider, fast food restaurant chains in California laying off workers to prepare for the $20 minimum wage hike. So I know you're for this, but on the
I'm for it, but obviously the economics of this will tell the story, right? We are headed towards a path where there's going to be less fast food workers. Like I said, you walk into a McDonald's right now, there are at least 4 touch screens where you just order right there and you get your own order when it's served to you. The need for cash registers and people attending those is quickly evaporating.
I was at the Orioles game yesterday. That's where I was when Camden. I did touch it. I was a Camden fan. One of my favorite places. But what about it? I mean, you can make not McDonald's. You eat there for your birthday.
I ate there for my... I love McDonald's, obviously.
I'm not saying I don't love it.
My body is a temple. You know, what can I say?
By the way, California, not stopping with the minimum wage. A new bill in that state would give workers the right to ignore phone calls, emails, and texts from their boss after hours. Matt Haney, who is a Democrat, local representative, introducing the proposal to address the issue of constant communication outside of regular hours. Now, it is inspired by similar laws in Australia, Canada, Italy, and France, which gave me the chuckle.
California is America's France.
As reporters, we're always on deadline. This seems so foreign to me.
Exactly. It's foreign to me and probably foreign to, you know, other, like in the medical industry. If you're a doctor, if patient's having a baby, is having a health emergency, you're not called. So how do you blanket that for everyone?
And you already send Cusack all to voicemail.
I'm like, bye.
I'd love to see these lawmakers actually have to live by that themselves.
So you think they're probably not doing that to their staffers also? What about it, though?
You already have the right to not answer your boss's call, right? You can choose to ignore the email, the phone call, the text message. It's just what's the repercussions for your action here? And to have that now legally protected, it just seems you got to find a better work culture if you don't want to be bothered after hours. Find a job that fits what you want in your life.
You know, I thought about... there was a story a couple weeks ago, show it real quick, about doctors now charging $25 to answer emails. And you could say, they're on the job. And if you send them an email and they got to respond, $25, they're entitled to it. But it's kind of, I think, like the slippery slope, right? Like if you start charging $25 for answering emails, the next step is, then you can't contact people after hours.
Do I get my email responded to right away? Like if you
probably
pay,
for $75.
Do
you want the priority pass to get instant communication from my doctor and instant diagnosis? I'll pay extra for that.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I just wonder though if that's like the next step with all this.
But if it's just an auto reply that says, "Please make an appointment," I'm not paying $25 then.
Yeah.
It was April Fool's Day today.
Was one of these stories fake?
One of these was not fake. No, great question. I had to think about that for a second. But Donald Trump got into this earlier today. Elon Musk got into the whole April Fool's stuff, what both of them were saying. We'll show you some of it on the other side of the break. Elon slamming Disney. Leland Vitter, host of On Balance, on the other side. Stay with us. You're watching The Hill here on News Nation.
Chris has been one of the first people to actually let me on and have a conversation.
And you have a platform here to make the case.
CNN has an agenda. Fox News has an agenda. But News Nation plays it pretty much straight up and down the line.
Welcome back here to The Hill on News Nation. So Elon Musk is getting in the spirit with an April Fool's joke. Social media post on X, the thing that he owns earlier today. He said, quote, excited to join Disney as their chief DEI officer. Can't wait to work with Bob Iger and Kathleen Kennedy to make their content more woke. Even the Linguini, host of On Balance, Leland Vitter.
2:37 a.m. He got at it early.
I don't know. Elon going after, that's like what he does, one of the things he does on X.
You know, I'm